You're listening to American Girl Women with Laura Treader and Lindsay Adams-Franca. This is a podcast where two millennial gals gather around the microphone and reminisce on the cultural phenomenon that took our childhood by storm, American Girl dolls. Contrary to what you might think, we aren't just talking about dolls here. We're diving into the high highs and the low lows of getting hooked on American Girl and all the childhood memories that come flooding back. So join us and a few special guests each week as we become American Girl women.
Today on American Girl Women, we are joined by a very special guest and friend of the podcast, Stafford Hartman. Stafford is a classically trained vocalist, former professional opera singer, and is now a high school music teacher. You might know her on Instagram as American Girl Therapy, and she recently launched a Substack under the same name, where she explores the intersections of life, nostalgia, identity, and healing through the lens of American Girl. We are so excited to reconnect today. Stafford, welcome back to AGW.
Thank you so much for having me back.
We are so excited to have you back on, Stafford. And it's been so nice in this occasion for us all to be recording, remembering the circumstances that brought us all together originally the first time we recorded. I think you like tagged us in a comment or something, and we were like, we have to have her on the pod.
Yes. I really think you had like, you followed me and I was like, oh, who's this? And you all had like a very glossy little picture. Like it all looked very faint. Oh, I remember it was because you all were located in New York. And I was like, oh, wow, these celebrities want to be friends with me. And you literally only had like 15 friends at that point. And then, yes. And then the content sharing and yeah. And then eventually you picked me from the crowd.
Oh, yes. My God,
so nice.
You were a very, very early guest for us, one of the first that we had, and it's been so great getting to stay connected in the community. But I think when we connected with you, we were really like, wow, this is like what this community can really be, getting to stay in touch with people with these common interests that even extend outside of American Girl. So I'm so glad that we've been able to keep in touch. It was over 2 years ago at this point.
It was like two and a half.
We had you on in January 2023. So we recorded that episode in 2022, which feels like an entire lifetime ago, Stafford. But it was such a great conversation that we had where we were able to really dive into your journey with American Girl and hear more about your experience connecting as an adult with the brand and how you've further incorporated it into your life present day. And it was phenomenal. So everyone, please take a listen to it. It was January 2023, our episode, American Girl Therapy, which is the name of Stafford's Instagram account, as well as her recently launched Substack, which we will certainly get into today. Stafford, as a bit of a refresher, would you be able to give us a very high level take on your experience with American Girl and what role the dolls played in your childhood?
Yes. All right. So I got my first doll, who was Samantha, because in 1993, that's who you got. Everyone got Samantha as their first doll. When I was 6 and a half, it was for Christmas when I was 6, my mom gave it to me. And of course, I mean, tale as old as time. The catalogs had been coming to my home for, oh, I don't know, 12 to 24 months at that point. And I got one and it was incredible. I don't even remember asking for Samantha because it was just like too special. And then she appeared. I was absolutely hooked. I ended up getting 5 original dolls between the ages of 6. And I think I got my last one at age 9 or 10. And then, yeah, when I was 14, the dolls went in the box, which is a rite of passage in and of itself. And 20 years later, my stepfather died and my mom was cleaning the garage and found my dolls intact. And so she cleaned them up and returned them to me. When I was on maternity leave with my now 4-year-old, so this would have been 2021. Yeah, fall of 2021. And like, I truly felt like a ray of light shine upon me. Like I don't know what psychotic like mental illness compelled me to write. I was like, these dolls are living and they need to speak. And like, I created an Instagram for my dolls. And at that time, I had no idea that there was a community already out there for dolls. I didn't know what shape my Instagram account was going to take, but it ended up just sort of morphing into this wonderful little collection of 400 word captions reflecting on my experience as a mother and a newly a mother of two, a woman, and most importantly, I think a young girl, because the dolls become these totems for diving back into those previous experiences. And it is wonderful. I have since, we could call it a pause, we could call it a break. I could just be honest and say stepped away from it. I always hope and dream of going back and spending more time and care on my American Girl Instagram, but there's only so many hours in a day. But the dolls are still downstairs. The collection has grown. I just bought Addie's school outfit. I'm still living a life. I'm still walking the walk.
Yeah. Stafford, can you share with us a little bit about how you came up with the title American Girl Therapy, which is also the title of your Substack, just because it's so incredible. I remember it resonating so much when we first found it, and love that you've carried that through to your writing as well.
Yeah, well, there was, I think the blank therapy, that's sort of like a memeified thing. I don't know what the technical term in it is, but it's an internetism, right?
Like, yes.
Therapy. And so there was that, but it was like a play on that, because always there has been this like real kernel of helping myself by processing via the dolls, but not in a weird, like bad touch way, like not in but in just sort of a, the dolls carry a lot of weight for me, a lot of joy, and a lot of like, whew, those were heavy times. And I don't know if everybody who reconnects with their dolls or and there's a huge portion of the AGIG community that like never lost touch with their dolls, like didn't go through a phase where they put them away, which is also fine. For me, the time in my life when I had the dolls and when I played with them as a child was a pretty traumatic time. I don't know how much I realized at the time that it was. For instance, like, and I talk about this all over my essays, but my dad died when I was 12 and he was sick during the entirety of the, like my real doll era originally. And so it's all woven up in that and who I was then and how I was dealing with things and what they represented to me. So they are never not objects of therapy. And then writing also just has always been with me. I'm a music teacher. I used to be a professional singer. And so I think people think that music has always been my outlet, but that's actually not true. Writing has been a passion as much and parallel to that my whole life. So a wonderful way to process. And yeah, actually, because Laura, you liked the name so much, I kept it on the Substack. I was like, well, I can't think of anything better. And I think it's important to like be consistent with branding.
Yes.
And yeah, and it's like, but this is still that. It's still that, which I love the through line. I'm writing about things, the dolls aren't mentioned, but it is the same stuff, like just on a larger scale in a longer form content.
Stafford, how do you see the relationship between nostalgia and healing in the kind of writing that you're doing?
Oh, that's a big question. Nostalgia and healing. I think it's about honoring both. Ooh, because nostalgia, there's that famous scene from Mad Men that everyone quotes. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you don't like immediately, if you're not like, then I will go on and I will explain.
I need to watch Mad Men. That is so high on my list.
Okay, no, it's fine.
I have watched it and I think I know what you're talking about, but will you explain it anyway?
Because absolutely.
I think it's a really good, if it's what I think it is, I think it's a really good like metaphor or
okay, so yeah, somebody out there listening is like, I've memorized every word of Mad Men and you are misquoting and you're wrong and you're gonna turn off my episode. But as I remember it, I think it's episode one, I think it's the tail end of the very first episode, and Don Draper, the main character, he's like designing a Polaroid ad or something, and he's talking about nostalgia, and nostalgia is longing for a place you can never return to. That's how he describes it, and the scene is very meaningful, but it's kind of that quote is the point. And I think that people can get stuck there. And I think especially people with trauma can sort of like suck you back in and you can romanticize where you've been. Yeah. And by just letting it sit and recognize that nostalgia is also not real. It's a dream state. Like my memories of my interactions with my dolls are not actually my interactions with the dolls, but I'm real today and I can write about my perceptions of either. I can process tiny things today. What I really like to do in my writing, and I don't think I'm getting too far off the main question by saying this, but I really like to say, take something teeny, teeny, tiny, like in an essay I wrote. Okay. Also, I'm horrible coming up with titles. Like they're awful. My titles are terrible. I need to just go to ChatGPT, which I hate and don't do, but like, okay. So the title of the essay is Pink Drink. Because I got a pink drink. Like, it's like truly terrible. So the essay is called Pink Drink. But I took this like just moment of going through the Starbucks drive-through, ordering a pink drink, which I never order. And I turned it into this like massive recollection about, I don't know, like my childhood and sense of belonging and class and status. And it just came from like one tiny thing. So I think recognizing what is impacting you and touching your heart, or maybe just getting on your nerves or rubbing you the wrong way in everyday life. If you dig at it and pick at it, then suddenly it'll take you back to the most distant memories and all of it. And then that's where the nostalgia lives. That's my answer. Yeah.
I really love that. And I wonder too, I like what you said, that nostalgia is like a dream state, right? Like, I wonder if you could be, if there's like a double dose of nostalgia, like you experience American Girl now and being nostalgic for that time in childhood, but then 20 years from now, like feeling the feelings that you did, like just the layers of nostalgia there, which I don't know if we've gone into that. Or maybe our next therapist that we have on the podcast could
You need to weigh in with more credentials than me.
Sure. Well, it's funny though, because like a lot of what you're touching on, like we have overlapped a little bit into the therapy territory, because whether or not it is about American Girl, but it's also not.
Yeah. That's always the thing. That's always the fine line. Yeah.
Yeah, when we had a therapist on, and I think also we discussed this a little bit in your original episode too, it's like the act of revisiting these things brings up a lot that has nothing to do with the actual American Girl dolls. It's about what was happening during that time. And I think, like, you know, similar to what you're saying, like you launched an essay on just ordering a pink drink at Starbucks. I think these like things that seem small, it's about the like the things happening around them.
Exactly.
So, you know, really starting with something relatable and building on it, I think is really what the uniqueness and accessibility of both the Instagram and your Substack as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And to that end, like, and I like hearing people's stories of like minutiae anyway, but like, I want you to write something on the back of a napkin about some tiny thing that happened. I mean, there are really so few, if you think about the college essay, which I think about because, you know, college essay season just ended at the high school where I work. So all these kids are talking about it. And I'm like, there are so few like events in your life that are worthy of, or are what we perceive are worthy of really important topics, you know, to write about. No, like not everybody's going to experience a traumatic event as a kid. Not everybody's going to win a marathon. Not everybody's going to, you know, like, well, I don't know, whatever the case may be, these like giant watershed moments, but it's everything else. Like write about everything else. That's the really meaningful like meat of your lives. And that's what I love writing about and what I like reading about as well.
Can we talk a little bit about, because I think we've alluded to it here and there, but really like really getting down the rabbit hole of, you know, what made you decide to say like, hey, I've been doing this on Instagram, but now I want to try this new format.
Yeah. So I was plugging away at Instagram. Of course, they give you these 400 word limits in the captions. And that's all well and good. That actually probably kept me in check, because now I cannot write an essay under like 6,000 words. It's a sickness, but like I've been unleashed. It was really nice. It was just like kind of these, a few times a week I would do a writing exercise. It's kind of what it felt like. Yeah. And then I found myself writing longer form essays, and I just kind of had them in a Google Drive, and I would take writing classes, and like, I in my mind thought maybe I'll write, I think I mentioned this on the pod. Like I thought I want to write a book of American Girl essays. Like I want to somehow do this. And then I took a writing class. I totally lied and cheated my way into like the advanced level memoir class at Literary Cleveland. So, but like I was like, no, I've definitely taken classes 1 and 2, and now I'm ready for advanced level 3. And what I brought in was my essay Girl of Today, which is also posted on my Substack. And it was my seminal American Girl essay. It was the essay that came out. It was the essay that I wanted to write then. Yeah. And I was like, you know what, after looking at it, like maybe this is what it was. This was the essay I wanted to write, and maybe I don't need a book. But that essay got me invited into my instructor's personal writing group. So yay for me. But that encouraged more essay writing. And then I just was sort of like prompted by that essay, which is called Girl of Today, which before that, can I tell you what it was called? Because I am the worst at titles. It was literally called Doll Stories. And my professor wrote on top, or my teacher instructor was just like, no, like he didn't have anything to say about the essay. He was like, this is magical and wonderful. This is the worst title I've ever seen. He like scratched it out. I was like, God, Girl of Today. It was right there.
Girl of Today is so perfect. It really is.
Doll Stories? No? Okay. It was so bad. But all that to say, yes. So getting that essay out really sort of unlocked me wanting to write about other things and me wanting to write in longer form. And so I didn't have an audience. I didn't really have the time or energy to devote what I needed to. I sort of stopped and started, and I still have like 5 unfinished, could be good essays hanging around. But I hyped myself up for a really long time, and I always knew like there is a place for this. Substack exists for people like me to publish their sad little personal essays. And I don't know. I made one of my New Year's resolutions in January to start a Substack, and I was like, you know what? It's never going to be perfect. I'm not going to have the perfect thing to post, but I will go ahead and I will put one out. And so I did. I put out one essay, and I got some immediate people wanting to pay for my writing, which was really, really cool. And then later I released it and have a paid subscription option. But no, it's just been great. Like you just never know. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And
now I have, I don't know, like 10 essays and some poetry and all that jazz up there. But it all started from my 400 word captions.
That's a journey, and it's so important to just take that leap, especially when it comes to creativity and putting something out there in the world. It's intimidating, but it seems, you know, it's necessary to dive in and have those goals for yourself.
When I'm thinking back to what I just said, it sounds really sad to be like, and now I have a Substack with some essays on it. No, the impact has been greater than that. For me, it's incredibly creatively fulfilling, but what has been really great is being able to broaden my audience beyond American Girl fans, because I think it was really hard for readers to, or people I know, whomever, to kind of talk to me about like, I have this American Girl Instagram, but it's not about the dolls, you know, and like, we couldn't really get past the fact that it's pictures of dolls, you know, if you don't want to be looking at that kind of thing. So with these essays, I am approaching the same stuff, truly the same stuff. This is my life, my childhood, my motherhood, my womanhood, but doing it in a longer form, in a more accessible way to so many people. And that has been, I've gotten some really, really good feedback from others who have also been inspired to write or even start their own Substacks, or have recognized something in my writing that has been helpful to them, which is the best.
What do you think it is about the American Girl world that really sparked such a creative renaissance for you as an adult?
It's really got to be the Girl of Today. If you listen to the first episode, I'll say it again. I mean, she was like it, because she was really my avatar. Like yeah. when she came out, that was when I was closest to, I mean, I think I was fully in preteenhood, at least mentally. I was probably like, I think I got her for my 9th birthday. It was, and it was just like something was awakened. Because with the historical characters to that point, I had Molly, Samantha, Addie, and Felicity. They kind of existed in their own worlds. I didn't blend them. I didn't treat them like characters outside of their own stories. And they weren't real. I mean, I don't want to say they weren't friends with each other because I don't remember, but they, no clothes were shared. That wasn't how I played. It's not how I did things. But when Girl of Today came along, I was like, this is, she's me, she's life. She's, I would also, I read a lot, period, end of story, didn't we all? But I read a lot of like YA stuff and I liked to write my own little YA stories. And so there was this real like imprinting of older girlhood from my life and how I imagined it and how I wanted it to be. And she was just she may as well have been a living, breathing thing. She was, and such high quality. I think it's kind of, it must be the way girls who are into Barbies feel. I don't know. They just really like that older girl quality. Right. There's something about that. And even going back to that now, I just recognize that little part of me, that little girl who wanted things to be different. And how I got here and how things are and how I still want things to be different. And it's Girl of Today. It always comes back to her.
Wow. Well, so fitting that was your first essay on your Substack. Really honoring that.
Perfect way to like also transition under the American Girl Therapy brand. I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
Stafford, is there anything that's really surprised you about the journey you've been on with having this creative outlet? And do you see this maybe going even further to maybe, dare I say, being bound on the printed page? Because I feel like this appeals to me in like a book format as well.
Ah, yes. Well, it appeals to me as well. The goal is yes, 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 and yes. The goal is to, this summer, I'm putting my kids in camp all summer. Goodbye, children. I'm locking you away. And I'm going to write all summer. And I really, really, really hope to write a memoir. Part of me thinks I should just write like a shitty fiction first draft because I'm so terrible at fiction. I'm like, I just need to do the thing I'm afraid of. But I have a pretty decent outline for a memoir. And nobody cares about my story, but people do care about universal stories. And I try to write about events in my life that are relatable. I mean, that we're all going through. And so I would like to do that, if for no other reason than to show myself that I can write something book length. I think just printing off my Substack essays and putting them in a book would be a cop out. Like those are kind of, those exist. My Substack work exists to improve my writing because you can only get better by writing more and reading more, and to figure out what my audience is responding to. Like I've been very surprised at what has hit and what has hit less. You know, it's not like anything's been a total miss. Although I did release an essay like last week about coming out of the closet as a science fiction fan that nobody cared about, but you heard it. Podcast listeners, I'm a science fiction fan. Okay. Yeah, that was not my finest work, but it's okay. Yeah. So I really would like to obviously keep the voice, keep the habit of going kind of tiny scale and zooming out larger scale. And I want to write it all down because I also just don't have, as a working mother, this may shock you to hear, but I don't have any fucking time.
Right.
I don't have any time to write. So the summer will allow me a little pause. Like, let me see what I can do when I have 7 or 8 hours a day to do this one thing. I've scraped together a whole lot of writing so far, just like beg, borrowing and stealing little 5 minutes here and there, but concentrating my time like that and then sending things off for publication or getting an editor or those things. But it's absolutely like the goal. And
that's incredible. What are you most excited for, either topics or stories to explore in your upcoming work?
Okay, so this is hot off the press news to you guys. Oh, I wish I had my elevator pitches worked out. I'm terrible at titles and I'm terrible at summaries, but I'm going to go back to the beginning. Okay. So my dad was one of his major, major hobbies was organic farming. And he did something called seed saving, which is where you harvest the seeds or you literally save them. There's a process of heirloom plants, different vegetables, fruits, flowers that have been passed down from generation to generation. And he was one of the founding members in the 70s of a group called the Seed Savers Organization. And they are based out of Decorah, Iowa. And they now have the largest seed bank in the world outside of the US government. So like when the zombie apocalypse comes, like we're all going to be eating their vegetables. So, you know, we should respect them. And trust me, I'm a science fiction fan, so I would know. But the Seed Savers Organization, like my dad took me to all these conventions as a kid, and he had this little side business called J.M. Hartman and Daughters Seed Company. And that was me. And I had two older half sisters, but they weren't really involved, but a play on the whole. So, and sons, it was, and daughters.
I love.
Yes. And I realized last year that Seed Savers, which is now this like really glossy sort of extremely well-run nonprofit, still sells my dad's seeds. So there is a strain of tomato that my dad saved during our lifetime together. Again, he died at like almost 30 years ago, and I can still get these seeds. Like, this is amazing. Wow. So I ordered some, and I finally I am in the process of planting them with my daughters. Like, they're just growing up. And I really want to explore. I just feel like the metaphors are rich. They are there.
Yes.
Explore the transferring of memories, of skills, of shared experiences, of revisiting the path, of growing new things in this very, very tactile environment. Of literally, these seeds are the ghosts of my childhood. These are real things that I saved with my dad that have come back to me that I now get to share with my kids, and how growing new things can help to heal and understand older things. And that's the theme of what I want to write this summer. It's not, but, and I want to kind of pop around past, present, and recent past. Yeah. See, I need an elevator pitch.
Wow. That is so beautiful. I love that. First of all, that's so remarkable that your dad's seeds are still available, and that's something tangible that you could share with your kids.
Yeah.
I think that's so awesome and a great thing to launch many more writings about. Mm-hmm. I think that's so wonderful and such a nice thing to be able to share with your kids too.
Yeah,
totally. There's such a great parallel to American Girl in there as well, being an heirloom brand and sharing it with your daughters, passing on something that was so important to you and the meaning behind it. But that is truly incredible of your father. And I'm so happy that you have that in his memory. Yeah. That's beautiful.
And it's a big return for me to like a more primitive version of myself as well. So there'll be some examination of that. I do in my Substack, because it's very relevant to my life now. I'm 38 and I'm at a very different point in my life than I was 10 years ago, which was very different than 10 years before that. And kind of, I feel like I'm finally a grown up and a little, but I'm still like in this weird spot where I'm like, are they really just going to let me do this? Like, I can just like write a check and I get this thing. Like, what? I have this much money in my bank account, like, which is great. But it is a return. Well, it's turning away from a lot of the materialism that comes with getting the suburban comforts that I thought I always wanted, which I have now, which are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. But as I am getting to this place in life where everything looks good, everything is pretty damn perfect, my favorite thing to do is like putter around and look at my seeds and like look at these sprouts and return to a kid who was just like playing around in the dirt, I don't know, in like my ratty, shitty, low-income neighborhood. Yeah, like, but really, truly, like revisiting a different time and place. And it's an interesting parallel.
Something I love about just the concept of you having this outlet in your Substack, but also potentially printed, is, I think, and you know, I'm maybe getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but I think that there's something so amazing about the fact that, number one, like, other women can read and engage, or men or whoever can read and engage with this and find common ground. But I also love it as a concept of, like, that your kids one day, maybe when they're older, I wish that I had this level of insight into, like, my mother when I was a little kid. And, you know, she was exactly what, like, what you're saying, maybe just finally feeling like an adult. Because I think it's so comforting almost to be like, you know, my mom was figuring stuff out and I'm figuring stuff out. And to have that, especially, you know, because you lost your dad at such a young age, like, now they also have a sort of inside look, if they choose to visit it at some point when they're older, of, you know, a very, like, maybe, like, different you through a different lens, which I find really interesting and intriguing.
Definitely. I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah. I think too, there, I mean, make no mistake, like, content warning, the stuff is real, like, that I post on Substack, and it's fairly unfiltered. And the paid, the only thing that's behind a paywall is, like, talking frankly about my sex life where it's relevant. And I've been asked, like, what if, like, students find it, or what if your kids read that one day? And it's like, if my students find it, they had to look really hard and then pay $5 a month for it. So that is on them. And I give explicit warnings. Why are they being weird? But the other truth is, like, well, there is no shame attached to the things I'm processing and the things I've been through. And what a fucking gift. Like, it has taken me so long to get to a place where I'm like, I'm okay today, right here as I stand. And I want you to read about how I've gotten here. And I, exactly what you said, Laura, if one day they read it, I sure as hell hope I'm around to have that same conversation with them and say, like, yeah, it's okay. And you're going to go through tough stuff too. And we'll all be good.
Yeah, that's really meaningful and so beautiful. And the fact that you could tap into those emotions and so beautifully put them pen to paper, keyboard to internet, whatever.
It's really... I don't think I've written with a pen in like 10 years, my poor atrophied handwriting. It's tragic, yeah.
But that's
but I did just make a reference to, like, writing a check. So I am apparently living in, you know, 1999.
Right? Yeah, just being that introspective, and I think is really important, and I think is inspiring for a lot of people, and probably those that are reading your Substack, to be more honest and open and more in touch with their emotions and experience. Because I think it's easy to, you know, ignore that part of yourself, and especially too when it comes to creativity, right? Like, I think there are so many, like, parallels too of experience with American Girl and growing up and playing with dolls to what that looks like now as an adult, and how you find that outlet as you age. Because it might not be playing pretend these days, but what is it to, like, get back into that mindset and still nurture that part of you?
I love that question that you have always asked of your podcast guests in one way or another, is what does that look like to you? I think that's probably the most sociologically satisfying kind of result of being a part of AGIG, is just seeing that manifest in everyone. And in a time, not to get on a soapbox, but I mean, the internet is eating its own tail. AI is gonna, you know, kill us all. And there are fewer and fewer opportunities to witness real creativity and to feel it and to feel moved. And I went through this weird, as a musician, I went through kind of a weird phase, I don't know, over the past 8 to 10 years, where I was like, why couldn't I just do something that made me some money? Like, come on, like, why did I have to get so many degrees in music that I'm still paying off? Like, why? But I have now, within the last year or two, renewed, like, my belief in the arts as an invaluable thing, not just because I'm a dumbass little 18-year-old theater kid, but because I see every day that theater, the arts, writing, these are ways for people to connect with themselves, with others, in ways they didn't know they could. And we are in such every podcast in America is saying the same thing. Like we're in a crisis of self. It doesn't matter your gender or sexuality. Like we are all so lonely. Yeah. And I do deeply believe that the only way to fix it is to connect, just like knock on a door and ask if you want to come out and play, whatever that looks like. Like it's, yeah. It's that sort of image of a little kid. Like you just have to go out into the world and do it. And sometimes that knocking, to extend the metaphor, really is doing your own thing. It's like, just get out there in the dirt and do it. And it's going to be bad at first, but you just have to keep trying.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really is like living the values that American Girl taught us.
Yes.
Into our adulthood. And it's nice to be reminded of those things as we, you know, become maybe like somewhat jaded or distracted adults that are maybe just wrapped up in our day to day, that it's like, no, like, remember how it felt to like do these things that like really resonated with you, and you can do them again.
You can, sometimes, right?
Totally.
Even like more, bring even more meaning to your life now than they did originally, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's too, just like getting out there and starting something, whatever that looks like to you, I think is so important. And it doesn't have to be this big, meaningful thing. Like Stafford, I love what you said earlier. This resonated of how to improve your writing is to write. And like, it's so simple like that. And one of my big goals for this year was to be more creative. Mm-hmm. Like I fully identified as an arts and crafter growing up, but have not done anything so crafty in recent years, more or less. But even just something so, so small, like I started scrapbooking again, which has been such a simple pleasure in my life. The other, like a few months ago at like midnight, I got this like stroke of inspiration that I just wanted to do something creative. And I took my hot glue gun out. I took out sequins and felt and just started like going to town sequins. Yes. Like it looked like a crazy glittery mess, but I'm like, just that feeling of being like transported to this creative place for a moment just feels so good. And
it feels so good.
Right? Like, I feel like you forget that sometimes. Life gets in the way and you forget that, oh, I can feel inspired, even if it's something so, so small, just creating something or whatever it might be, building community, whatever it looks like for someone to just be outside of themselves. It's important to get to that place.
Absolutely. And I, like, you should never, ever, ever discount the things that like stir your spirit, whatever that is. It's way, way, way too easy for us as women, for me as a mother, for human beings in this economy, and to say there isn't time for that or to not recognize it as a gift. It is. It's just the best. It's the best.
Yeah. Truly.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, Stafford, what should we expect next? You have your summer of potentially writing and focusing on that. Are you going to do like any type of like little retreat for yourself so you can?
Oh my gosh. But I truly wish I could tell you like I'm not booked and busy. I am not indeed, but I mean, I am very busy, but not booked. I'm just doing free labor in my home. I really do. There are things like I want to apply for. There's like an artist or a writer in residency program with Literary Cleveland that I would love to throw my hat in for. And I'm kind of writing with the intention of like hopefully becoming part of this program that could eventually get me published. That's kind of cart before the horse. And even if I don't get any of that, like if I have something to present, I will hound people down. I just need the time. In the meantime, like things that pop up on Substack, I have about, I don't know, like 5 things in my drafts I need to complete every month on there. I also do like a monthly newsletter that's a little bit meta. So I have my essays, and then in the newsletter, I write about what I'm writing and what I'm reading and just random interesting topics. And I do a fake advice column. So feel free to hit me up and ask me a question if you'd like some shitty fake advice, which I just do to make myself chuckle. But really, I mean, no, there's like, that we're at a little bit of a sad spot. I wish I could be like, yeah, well, they're nominating me for a Pulitzer. I'm the first Substack ever to be nominated for my doll stories. No, nothing.
Putting it out into the universe.
I am putting it out there, but that's what you just have to, like, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah. No, I think it's incredible and amazing. And I think it's so awesome that you're going to be taking the summer to really have that time, because I mean, I feel like you have like such a concrete plan of what you want to accomplish and you know how you're going to accomplish it. So I feel like you're just kicking off, you know, an amazing next couple months of being able to really devote lots of time to this. And I'm so excited to see what other stories and essays and come up on here.
I hope this inspires our listeners to take that next step in their creative endeavors and just go for it. To start, I think it's so important.
And I will, but I do really intend to, the plan is, yes, I'm going to write this summer as kind of a bellwether for what it would look like, but I genuinely plan to retire. I use it in quotation marks because I've only been in my teaching career for 10 years, but I want to get out of teaching in 2 years. So by the time I'm 40, I want to write because that is what I feel most compelled to do. It will also allow me more availability to my family. And I do want to be more present I'm present, but I want to be more available to them, to my kids. And I was kind of talking through this with a friend, and I realized that, like, in my 20s, I sang, and that was very satisfying, and I was performing, and that's what I wanted to do. And then I transitioned to teaching in my 30s, and for this last decade, that's what I've done, and I love it, and I have not grown to the point where I hate it, but I know that time will come. I also feel really, really, really called to write, and I can only do that if I give myself the permission and the time. And so I'm going to exit out of teaching in 2 years and do this full time, which sounds 100% delusional because I have never published anything. But we've been saying the whole time, you got to get out there and do it. I must try. And how many old ladies do we know? Like, think about all the women in your 60s that, you know, they're like, I'm writing my stories down. I got a lot of stories to tell. Like, everybody has stories to tell. I just don't want to wait till I'm 60 to do it. I want to tell
absolutely.
Them now. Well, so that's really the grand plan.
Absolutely. And I think I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think that how many people, especially like at our age, you know, all of us being in our 30s, maybe like have settled into, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but have settled into sort of like the routine of our adult lives and haven't had to go out on a limb and sort of say, like, I'm not giving myself the opportunity to like half-ass this, you know. You're gonna full ass it. So I think that's awesome.
Cheeks, there will be cheeks, absolutely.
Stafford, if anyone could do it, it's you. That is truly so inspiring and just such a great goal, you know. Really admirable. It really is.
Thank you.
You know, when the book comes out, we'll have to have you back on.
Oh, please, right? Yes. Once every 2 years, I'll do something a little more interesting.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Like, when the book comes out,
okay, we're gonna
we can't end this without just acknowledging the hilarious heading, because I know you said like, oh, I'm not good at titles, but oh God, not the poetry section is so hilarious. I died over that. It's like, I just feel like it's so funny because it's like, I don't know, it's like acknowledging like, yep, I'm dabbling here and I'm putting it here and it's here for you to, like, yes, I did.
Yes, I did. And I know no one asked. Oh my God. I get wild hairs about poetry. I'm like I've never been good at it. I'm truly even worse at fiction somehow, but I have put poems just straight up on my Facebook page, like on my Instagram. Like, it's, who do I think I am? That's probably the most embarrassing thing that I do. My kids should be ashamed of that. Nothing else. Not the sex stories that are in my Substack. Just like the awful poetry. That's it.
That's oh it. My God.
Oh yeah, my God. Since you've last been on the pod, we changed up our little games a bit. Mm. I was listening back to your episode and we did the famed celebrity game. And also, Laura, this is such a throwback of which two American Girl characters would you want at your dinner party? Which seems like forever ago. But Stafford, we've made a transition here. And would love to hear your take on this. If you were an American Girl doll, if there was a Stafford doll, what three accessories would you come with?
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with this question. Okay. an iPad with a magic keyboard, only because I no longer do pen and paper and I genuinely compose well on an iPad. So that would be my pen and paper. Yes, yep. A notebook with a small pen would be much more romantic, but okay. A binder full of sheet music, full of random vocal music, and a tiny Kirkland brand protein bar, because I live off of them. That's the only way I sustain myself. I don't cook, so it's really tragic what I eat, but I eat so many of those. That'd be it. And everyone would love the tiny bar. Everyone loves it. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with those answers. And I wish, Lindsay, we got to start looking into a way to get some artwork of people's answers for this, for their episodes.
That's the only good use of AI that I can think of. The only one.
Literally.
That's why AI exists.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Literally, it's our version of the Proust questionnaire, honestly. Yes. I love those answers.
Oh my gosh, it's truly, we got to turn that into AI somehow. But Stafford, where can everybody find you after this?
So come check out my Substack. It's American Girl Therapy. My handle is at Stafford Hartman. And my AGIG is still up. My American Girl Instagram, American Girl Therapy. Who knows? I might even update it in preparation of the slew of followers I'm about to get. Just kidding. But I got to show it some love. Yeah. It some love. I'll at least give Addie a beauty picture in her new school outfit. I got to take some pics of her.
Absolutely. Yes.
Please come check me out.
Amazing. Well, I know our listeners will enjoy your sense of humor and vulnerability as much as Lindsay and I have, both in your American Girl Therapy original Instagram writing and in your Substack. So thank you so much for sharing it with us. And we're so excited to see what it becomes.
Thank you all. Thank you for your support from the beginning. I'm so proud of you too. I'm so proud. You've done so well.
Likewise.
We've grown together.
Exactly. Well, Stafford, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for listening to American Girl Women. For more AG Women content, follow us on IG at American Girl Women or send us your American Girl stories via AmericanGirlWomen@gmail.com. We might just read them on the pod. If you like this podcast, tell your friends and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.